all those taxes from all these nations, you know? So we had to get rid of all the politicals, as we call them.
Politicals? You mean like Jimi Hendrix? What? You know,
Jimi? Yes, Jimi Hendrix too. That's right. That's right.
Why was he killed?
Jimi Hendrix? Well, he was also a revolutionary. You know, anybody that is considered a revolutionary that can hold media conferences and press conferences, that could stir up the people and stir up the college students and make them, you know, demonstrate. You know, we don't want that, because in the 60s, everything got out of hand. You know, the establishment lost all its power in the 60s. And so ever since then, we have been reversing the whole strategy.
And so, yeah, and then you go on to say, I blew away JFK.
Well, JFK was a very naive person. As president, he should have known that, you know, he was just basically the puppet head, you know, like we put all over in the third world countries, we set up our puppet governments, you know, they really have no autonomy or no power, they just follow the orders. And why JFK was blown away was because, number one, he was going to end the Vietnam War, where we were, you know, we were making lots of money selling fighter planes and oil and steel. And also, we were over there to take control of the Golden Triangle, you know, where we get all the heroin for our world heroin trade. And also, he was going to do away with the CIA. He fired Alan Dulles, who was head of the CIA at the time. And he said he was going to dismantle the CIA, and we didn't like that. And the other thing was, he issued an executive order, number 11,110, to break the monopoly which the Federal Reserve Bank has for loan sharking the United States government all the money. And the taxpayers have to pay the Federal Reserve Bank interest on all the money loaned. And now this year, that interest rate which the American taxpayers pay is $400 billion each year on the interest alone. And the Federal Reserve Bank is a privately owned bank owned by British bankers. So technically, the United States is still a British colony. If the British are actually in control of the U.S. monetary system and can dominate and control the domestic policy and foreign policy, because they actually control the monetary system, then the United States is still a British colony. We think that we kicked out the British in 1776. We kicked out the soldiers, but we didn't kick out the bankers, and we didn't kick out the businessmen. And in 1913, when Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act into law, that set up the downfall of the monetary system and the downfall of this American democracy.
So that, why are you wearing the facial disguise and stuff? You're afraid they're going to blow you away?
Definitely.
Definitely?
For just talking about what I'm talking about now, they would kill me in a second.
In a second, huh?
In a second.
Huh.
Because they have too much money and too much power to lose. If Kennedy's executive order number 11,110, which is still on the books today, it was when Kennedy was assassinated, the order was never rescinded, it was just ignored. President Johnson ignored the order and just went on loaning the money and printing the money from the Federal Reserve.
Well, let's listen to that song right now and see what we think of it, okay? Thank you very much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Bye.
was a zombie for the CIA. I shot John Lennon and I ran away. I pricked by Molly with a cancerous pin, and OD'd Jimi Hendrix with a silly grin. I work for the bankers, I sell the oil fighter planes, and smack, I do the job and I never look back. I got government ID and a badge in my pocket. I got a cyanide pill around my neck and a little locket. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman. I'm Uncle Sam's, Uncle Sam's hitman. Sometimes I use a hypodermic needle. Sometimes I use a gun. Or maybe just a car accident. To me, it's all so much fun. I'm Uncle Sam's, Uncle Sam's hitman. I blew away JFK and his brother too. So take this note, if you rock the boat, I'm gonna blow away you. I'm Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam's, Uncle Sam's hitman. I gave Lenny Bruce a hot bag, and Janis Joplin the same. As for Jessica Savage and Karen Silkwood, auto accident was the name of that game. I'm Uncle Sam's, Uncle Sam's hitman. For the bankers, I sell the oil fighter planes and smack. I do the job and I never look back. I got government ID and a badge in my pocket. I got a cyanide pill around my neck and a little locket. I'm Uncle Sam's, I'm Uncle Sam's hitman.
Your calls from San Francisco. Frank, join us on forum. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to compliment that last caller who spoke about the bullet fragments in Comley's wrist being much more than was actually missing from the bullet head. That's a very good point. We've seen, people who have seen the JFK movie have seen the Zapruder film in the movie, and at the end of the JFK movie he keeps showing you how Kennedy's head goes back and to the left, back and to the left. Now, any simple physics student can tell you that a force of motion causing another body to go back and to the left would obviously have to be coming from the front right. So the front right was where the bushes on the grassy knoll were, where there were about 40 eyewitnesses that gave testimony that said they saw a flash and heard shots and saw smoke coming from the bushes behind the picket fence on the grassy knoll. And at the end of the movie, Executive Action with Burt Lancaster, they give you about 25 or 30 of those eyewitnesses who gave testimony and then were all killed within, you know, 3 to 5 years after giving testimony.
Frank, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'd be interested in Gary Shaw's reaction. There I go again with conspiracy. Particularly in light of Posner's book, because Posner essentially discredits those 40 witnesses and does so pretty methodically, and also tries to wipe out the idea that there could have been a shot from the grassy knoll.
Right. Well, anybody who's ever seen a copy of the Orville Nix film, Orville Nix was standing opposite Zapruder on the other side of where Kennedy's limo was passing, and he had his little Super 8 camera, and he was following the limo from, like I said, the opposite side of where Zapruder was filming from. And at one point in the Orville Nix film, you can see the bushes in the back, and you can actually see two riflemen with high-powered rifles and scopes.
Yep. It all goes back to Jack. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. They covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. It all goes back to Jack.
Those people have got to know
it all
whether or not
back
their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
The question though,
whether or not their president's a crook.
Who will Tricky Dick really working for? He kicked Charlie Chaplin out of this country. On a false rumor, was it cause they had no sense of humor? It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money. Now life's just been hard knocks. The whole game's floating on plastic since they looted the gold from Fortinox. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. He wanted to do away with the Fed.
To be interested in.
Instead he ended up dead. That's right. He wanted to dismantle the Fed. Instead he ended up dead.
Maybe interested in.
All bets down. Dollar for dollar, that Tricky Dick was working for Nelson Rockefeller. You've all heard the expression, don't rock the boat. How did Nelson get to be vice president? Without one vote. Forget Lee Oswald, the patsy. Forget about the mob. You couldn't kill the president. Set with an inside job.
You can only be interested in.
It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money. Now life's been hard knocks. The whole game's floating on plastic since they looted the gold from Fortinox.
You can only be
in 1943. Congressman Voorhees tried to spill the beans about the Fed. Dick,
you can't be.
You'll have to replace him.
You can only be interested.
Old man Prescott Bush said.
Go ahead.
And 50 years later, Prescott's grandson's raising hell. Ripping off $100 million from the local SNL. Does it seem like a mystery when the big boys rewrite history? Does it seem like a mystery when the big boys rewrite history? It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. And they covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money.
You gotta know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. Those people have gotta know whether
or not
their president's a
crook. You've all heard the expression.
Those people have gotta know.
Hey, don't rock the boat.
Well, I'm not a crook.
How did Nelson get to be vice president?
Well, I'm not a crook.
Without
well,
even just one
well,
vote.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Forget
well,
Lee Oswald the patsy. Forget about the mob. You couldn't kill the president. Sit with an inside job. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. They covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued a funny money.
may be interested in.
Now life's just been hard knocks. The whole game's low team on plastic. Since they looted the gold from Fortin Max.
You can only be interested in.
It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. They covered up the tracks. And now we paid the tax in 1943. Congressman Voorhees wrote a book called Out of Debt, Out of Danger, saying that the feds were all a crook.
Yeah, you'll have to replace him. Old man Prescott Bush said to Tricky Dick. And then 50 years later, Prescott's grandson's raising hell, ripping off 100 mil from your local SNL. And yes, you, the taxpayers of this country, we've got to pay for that.
You and the press, you can't be interested in that. You can only be interested in who shot John. Well, go ahead.
Hey, Tricky Dick, what do you mean, who shot John? I thought we all know that Lee Harvey Oswald shot John. Didn't the Warren Commission prove that he shot John? So why are you saying who shot John? You know something we don't know, Dick?
One last call. Frank, hi, you're on.
Hi. I had a dream last night that I was having dinner with Richard Nixon, and he had a silver gray short crew cut and big ears like Ross Perot, and he was saying, you want to know who shot John? Well, you'll never know.
All right. I thank you, I think.
Interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. To be interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. You can only be interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. Maybe interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. You can only be interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. You can only be interested in who shot John? Well, go ahead. Who shot John? 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 The press, you can't be interested in that. You can only be interested in who shot John. Well, go ahead. You can only be interested in who shot John. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Colson now acknowledged that he dreads the complete release of the Nixon Watergate tapes, if it ever happens. Hey, did you hear that? Even this so-called Christian. Colson, now in 1993, still dreads the eventual release of the Nixon Watergate tapes. Why, may I ask you, would the release in 1993 of tapes made in 1972 scare Colson? Could it be that what we're saying about the tapes, not only what we're saying, but every scholar who's looked at the evidence, the partial tapes that we have, has pointed out and saying, look, in the 36 or 40 hours that we do have, there's obvious evidence here that Nixon is nearly confessing to his role in the President Kennedy's assassination, and to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, and to the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. My God, with a mere 40 hours, less than 2% of the tapes, we have enough evidence now to put that bloody fascist dog Nixon in prison forever.
At the end of the war, it was $200 million of Rockefeller and Mellon money that brought 350 trained Nazi spies under Reinhard Gehlen into the United States. $1 million of Rockefeller and Mellon money that brought 350 trained Nazi spies. It was $200 million of Rockefeller and Mellon money that brought 350 trained Nazi spies under Reinhard Gehlen into the United States to form the beginnings of the Central Intelligence Agency. The war. It was $200 million of Rockefeller and Mellon money that brought 350 trained Nazi spies intelligence agency.
I was a zombie for the CIA. I shot John Lennon, then I ran away. I pricked Bob Marley with a cancerous pin, and OD'd Jimi Hendrix with a silly grin. I work for the bankers, I sell their oil, buy the plans and smack. I do the job and I never look back. I got government ID and a badge in my pocket. I got a sign-up pill around my neck and a little locket. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman.
Kills people. It kills people as specific hits or targets, but it also aims from time to time at general populations, not only abroad, but domestically here in the United States. And it also has had a goal for at least the last 30 to 40 years of sort of getting between our ears, so to speak, and controlling our minds.
Be all that you can be in the army. Things go better with Coke. Why ask why? Just have a bud. Now on sale. Hurry down. Tell him Uncle Henry Kissinger sent you.
Look back. I got government ID and a
and a badge in my pocket. I got a sign up pill around my neck and a little locket. I'm Uncle Sam's hitman.
Capability to have a Manchurian candidate, as the book was called in the 50s, a mind controlled killer who would respond from certain conditioned and pre-planted symbols. Was actually in place at the end of World War II and didn't have to wait until the 1980s. The training for the 80s is much more sophisticated, and these intelligence agencies operate in these murders through an international fascist network that actually involves much of the old Nazi SS structure, which was moved around the world through the Odessa and Deshpina networks.
Sometimes I use a hypodermic needle. Sometimes I use a gun. Or maybe just a car accident. It's all so much fun.
Also with New Wealth, they had created through a variety of methods, including control of the international sale of drugs and arms. And near the end of the war, through something called Operation Bernhard, which was a plan to mock the currencies of many of the Allied nations with expert forgers and printing presses, so that phony money could be printed and used during their escape. But the history of the interlink between these specific Nazis and the CIA, the Defense Intelligence and other networks, is only now in the 1980s starting to come to light. These fascist networks rely on trained assassins, on mercenaries, and on provocateurs who do a variety of jobs that range from individual hits for political assassinations and murders to paramilitary operations to specific acts of terrorism or a classic provocateur operation, which would be a provocateur would work for the government but pretend to be working against it or working within a rival faction and do something illegal that would set up the rival faction or the dissenters to be arrested or attacked themselves. And these operations are financed now internationally, both by the drug traffic, especially opium and cocaine worldwide, by current international and illegal arms sales, and also by taxes that people pay into the government, with some of which through operations like USAID or directly to the intelligence agencies or through corporate fronts go into the coffers of this intelligence network. Now the training of these people, the assassins, the mercenaries, the provocateurs, has in my research always involved a special role for Navy intelligence, the ONI, the Office of Navy Intelligence, and also the Green Berets, who participate in both the assassinations and the mercenary operations. And currently, with a circle of people connected with Soldier Fortune magazine, many of whom are ex-Green Berets themselves, they're recruiting. Their cover for their operations and their movement is handled by a series of corporate dummy fronts, corporations that exist in name only but are merely conduits to launder the funds, through evangelical operations, church fronts, missionary operations, and through cooperative government officials here and abroad that are part of the intelligence network. And to give you some examples of the operations which you asked about before, some examples of specific hits or assassinations that these people have been involved in would include the murder of Patrice Lumumba in the Congo, of Salvador Allende in Chile, of Che Guevara. John Paul II are actually tied into international fascist networks, not to the Bulgarians or the left wing, as some of the right-wing press has suggested about the shooting of the Pope. The real background of Mehmet Ali Aga is a connection to the Turkish Grey Wolves, a fascist organization, not to Bulgarians or communists. Some examples of mass murder or target populations would include the
calls for Senator Hart. Eric from San Francisco, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate your taking my call. Professor Cornel West, I believe, was a guest on your show.
He was.
Speaks of the disparity between rhetoric and reality. I agree with Professor West that this disparity is, in fact, intentional, and that our quote-unquote national interests are really the interests of the corporate business and finance community, and that in reality, the fiction of the two-party system in this country is merely that. There really is a one-party system in this country with two wings, one slightly more socially progressive than the other. And I'd like to hear Senator Hart's comment.
All right, that in itself you recognize as a kind of rhetoric now, that there really is
only if it's not backed up by reality. I can only tell you from my personal experience, 20 years ago I would have said that statement was flatly wrong. Today I wouldn't.
Why?
I think there clearly is concentrated wealth in this country, in the corporate structure. Overly concentrated for a Jeffersonian, Jacksonian, and for one who genuinely believes in free enterprise and competition. And I think that concentrated wealth makes its beliefs felt very forcefully and very effectively in Washington and in policy.
But hasn't there always been a kind of dichotomy that's real between, say, Democratic Party politics being, let's say, more for social change with respect to social welfare, more for labor, and Republican Party politics being more for the corporate
yes,
sector.
Yes, but the questioner said basically that. But he, I think, correctly puts those two closer together than our ideal suggests. Your formulation has them somewhat farther apart. What he's saying is they kind of get together, and the center right of the Democratic Party and the center left of the Republican Party formulate the policies that are acceptable to the structured powers, I mean, the power structures. And I think it's not too far from wrong. I came up, as I said, in the 60s as a Kennedy idealist. My first assignment in Senate was to serve on what was called the Church Committee. It's the Senate Select Committee to investigate the intelligence agencies of America. And within 4 months, we turned up the fact that this country had systematically set out to assassinate at least 5 foreign leaders. Now, Barry Goldwater didn't know that. John Tower didn't know that. Almost no one knew that. How can that happen? How can that happen? How can Irangate happen? How can we destabilize the Allende government in the 1970s in Chile at the behest of AT&T? There's too much evidence. How can we adopt an energy policy that fits the needs of 4 or 5 major oil companies in this country that make their money importing oil from the Middle East? There's a lot of evidence to this effect.
More of your calls. Denise, that in the call. Frank from San Francisco, you're on Forum. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to address the one-party system that he was talking about before. And the way it works is the National Security Council, which now has about 5 members, all belong to the CFR, the privately run Council on Foreign Relations. Now, this is a Rockefeller Standard Oil little club that dictates foreign policy and domestic policy, and it circumvents the Senate and the Congress by going directly to the National Security Council.
Now, let me get right at this, because this keeps coming up over and over. The Council of Foreign Relations, we'll get in the Trilateral Commission in just a moment. Yeah. How much do those organizations really have effect on public policy?
I think it's less the organization. The direct answer to your question is not much. The indirect answer to your question is somewhat to a lot. And it's more through relationships and friendships than it is that a cabal of people sit down in the bowels of the Council on Foreign Relations building on 57th Street.
Who plays tennis together, that sort of thing.
I think that's a lot of it.
All right, let me thank you for the... And we're going to try to get some callers on here while we have a little bit of time. Frank, join us. Good morning.
Morning, Michael. I have a little poem here for you.
for the 30th anniversary of JFK's assassination. JFK, why in heaven's name did they blow you away? Was it J. Edgar Hoover that made the mess and tried to cover it up with his black lace dress? Was it Alan Dulles and Charles Cabell? The story has a very funny smell. Jerry Ford was on the Warren Commission. Was this just an act of attrition? Bush was in charge of the cover-up, tried to pin it on one lone nut. Years later, Ford pardoned Nixon, then went on a ski vacation. Nelson Rockefeller became vice president without one vote from this nation.
Thanks for that, Frank. The wonderful range of poetry. We're talking with Paul Krasner, who is self-described sort of the Zelig of the 60s and the editor and publisher of The Realist. Certainly when it comes to the 60s, he is the man. He was there, as Whitman put it. And he's also the author of a book, not only a kind of social history about that period, but certainly about so many of the figures that he came in contact with and had pretty close personal relationships with, like Lenny Bruce and Allen Ginsberg and Ken Kesey and so many of those famous people from that era, Squeaky Frome. From San Francisco, Frank, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Paul?
Hiya.
I met you on the Muni one day. I was telling you about a book that I wrote called Kung Fu Rabbi.
Oh, yeah.
And you said you wrote something similar to that?
Oh, I wrote a thing called Tung Fu.
Oh, right.
It was about a man with a 15-inch tongue who was very popular.
Right.
And who went to a summer camp for gurus.
Mm-hmm. I like the thing you first did on the JFK assassination, the thing you wrote about Lyndon Johnson in the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Michael mentioned that before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because a lot of the reviewers, I mean, this was a thing that can't be quoted on family radio, but a lot of the reviewers tried to describe the climactic scene before they said that I was revolting. And
right.
So my favorite was Newsweek, where they referred to necrophiliac Congress.
Right, right.
And I've seen Congress, and I'm sure there were a few necrophiliacs
just
there.
Just waiting, chickaboom.
Yeah, yes, yes, not to mention some transvestites in the Supreme Court and a couple of golden shower enthusiasts in the Senate.
Right. Paul,
where's my rim shot?
As far as your investigative work into the JFK assassination,
uh-huh.
Did you link up anything with the fact that Kennedy signed Executive Order 11,110, which was going to break the loan-sharking monopoly that the Federal Reserve Bank has over the Treasury?
It was multi-motivated. You know, I mean, the Federal Reserve was unhappy about him, the CIA was unhappy about him, the mafia was unhappy about him, the oil companies were unhappy about him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like
Not
to mention the Teamsters. So that that assassination was sort of like a one-stop shopping center.
Did you ever link the fact that Nelson Rockefeller became vice president because of Kennedy's assassination?
No, I thought that was because he was appointed by Gerald Ford. Oh, well, Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission report.
Right.
That was one of the scariest moments for me when Gerald Ford and Nelson Rockefeller, who had both not been elected, were in the White House. That brought back a relapse of my paranoid freakout.
Right. Well, do you think that has anything to do with it?
It may well. You know, I don't know absolutely, but you know, it's sort of like the old boys network in that sense. And so in that sense, there was a connection because you know you always hire people that you can trust.
Frank, let me.
Three little tramps, see how they run. They all ran after the railroad cars, but what about their guns? Could the tall one be Jimmy Schlesinger? And what about the runt? Could it be a Dickie Helms, or maybe Howard Hunt? The one in front will never know. Does he look like a Ross Perot? Lee Bowers was in the railroad tower in Dallas on that day. He gave eyewitness testimony about how Jack got blown away. He was overlooking the grassy knoll where he saw the rifleman stroll. He took a look and his blood ran cold. This is what Lee Bowers said. I saw the smoke. I heard the report. There's trouble in the land. An ambush of the president. I just don't understand. After Bowers testified to the Warren Commission, his automobile ended up in a very funny position. It lost its transmission, and he ended up in a funny position. Dead, very dead, man. DOA. In Zapruder's film, as the limo goes by, Jean Hill was 10 feet away. She heard the shots and saw the bullets fly. She saw a flash from the picket fence. When Jack's head exploded, it just didn't make sense. Her boyfriend was the motorcycle cop, riding to the left and to the rear. When Kennedy's brain matter splattered on his windshield, he got a rush of fear. He told her not to testify, or she'd end up like Bowers by and by. JFK, JFK, why did they blow you away? JFK, why did they blow you away? Nixon, Nelson, Henry, and J. Edgar, too, didn't want a liberal in the White House office. It was messing up their game. They said he was bad for business, but they wouldn't take the blame. He was messing with oil and U.S. Steel and the Federal Reserve Bank. He wouldn't follow orders from the CFR or Rand Think Tank. JFK, why did they blow you away? 'Cause you didn't belong to the skull and bones, and you weren't gay. Was it J. Edgar Hoover that made this mess and tried to cover it up with his black lace dress? Was it Alan Dulles and Charles Cabell? This story has a very funny smell. Jerry Ford was on the Warren Commission. Was it just an act of attrition? Bush was in charge of the cover-up. Tried to pin it on one lone nut. Years later, Ford pardoned Nixon, then went on a ski vacation. Nelson Rockefeller became vice president without one vote from this nation. JFK, why did they blow you away? JFK, why did they blow you away? Three little tramps, see how they run. They all ran after the railroad cars, but what happened to their guns? Could the tall one be Jimmy Schlesinger? And what about the runt? Could it be Dickie Helms, or maybe Howard Hunt? The one in front will never know. Does he look like a Ross Perot? Lee Bowers was in the railroad tower in Dallas on that day. He gave eyewitness testimony about how Jack got blown away. He was overlooking the grassy knoll where he saw two men with rifles stroll. Then all of a sudden his blood ran cold, and this is what Lee Bowers said. I saw the smoke and I heard the report. I knew there was trouble in this land. An ambush of the president, I just can't understand. Yes, definitely there was trouble, trouble in this land. After Lee Bowers testified to the Warren Commission, his automobile lost its transmission, and he ended up in a funny position. Dead, yeah, real dead. JFK, why did they blow you away? I said, JFK, why did they blow you away? 'Cause you were making trouble for the Federal Reserve Bank, and you wouldn't follow orders from the Rand think tank. You didn't belong to the Skull and Bones, and you weren't gay. Maybe that's why J. Edgar had you blown away.
Calls for Mayor Elihu Harris. Again, our number 415-863-2476. We begin with Frank, and welcome to Forum. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I think everything comes down to money again. You know, the mayor's talking about the economy. They don't have enough money for this and enough money for that. I think all the mayors should get together when they have a mayor's conference and talk about the Federal Reserve Bank ripping off $500 billion every year that goes into the bankers' pockets, and that $500 billion a year could be used for housing, for food, for welfare, for medical, for everything. Nobody's addressed this issue about the Federal Reserve Bank ripping us off.
Sound like something that certainly we are interested in any form of income that we can find that's legitimately available to us. Unfortunately, even if the Federal Reserve Bank were to be corrected in terms of its practices and the monies that are being diverted from the Federal Treasury, that's still money that ultimately is going to the federal government. And I think there's a responsibility certainly in the Congress that controls the Federal Reserve, and certainly the President who appoints the officers of the Federal Reserve to make those corrections.
What's the reason for this treason? 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 Rappers claim they got a lot of nerve. Iceberg ain't throwing you a snow job curve. Kennedy's limo, it never swerved. Check it out, what Jack had on the Federal Reserve. JFK signed executive order 11,110. It was going to change the monopoly of the Fed on the Treasury. But little did Jack know he would end up dead, 'cause he was making waves for the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Bank, which is privately owned by British bankers, which is privately owned by the British bankers. It's the House
of Rothschild, and it's secretly the Rockefeller family with a percentage of the House of Rothschild money over the Federal Reserve Bank and this country. And if that's the case, then we're still a British colony, a British colony. Hey, what a joke, what a joke. A British colony? I thought this was the land of the free, the home of the brave. Oh, well, what happened to the buffalo? What happened to the American Indian? They did a little genocide on him. What do they want? What do they want? Soldiers and workers, that's what they want from you jerkers. Soldiers and workers, that's what they want. Soldiers and workers, for their empire to send us soldiers to foreign countries to take over the oil supply of those foreign countries, the oil supply and the sugar and the coffee and the soybeans and the rice. Gee, it's so nice to have a little rice with my soybeans and my sugar and my oil and my coffee and my uranium and aluminum and bauxite and zinc and copper and silver and gold. What's the reason for this treason? 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 Lesson for you. Business and politics. Politics of business. Business of politics and politics of business. The Cold War scam and the Federal Reserve steal your taxes and you get to serve. They say it's for flag and country. They say it's for God above. But I'll tell you one thing, it ain't for love. World War II killed 6 million Jews. Ford and Rockefeller backed Adolf Hitler. Ford and Rockefeller backed Soviet Russia. Ford and Rockefeller had U.S. military contracts. Russia came in from the east. America came in from the west. Squashed the Nazis and divided up the rest. Russia came in from the east. America came in from the west. Squashed the Nazis and divided up the rest. The occupying forces remain just the same since 1945. Keeping the extortion racket alive. So the foreign countries gotta pay protection money. That's right, they gotta pay protection money. Don't you think having the troops in Europe since 1945 is a little funny? Making them pay that protection money under the guise of NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Everybody's gotta kick in some money for protection. Manufacturers selling to both sides, AK-47s and M-16s, owned by the same family, so they sell to both sides, making the people, milking the people through military budget, crooked politicians, crooked military. We sell those F-14s and the F-16s and the F-18s. We sell the surface-to-air missiles to shoot down the F-16s so we can sell you more. And the Federal Reserve Bank loans the money to the military to buy more F-16s from the manufacturer, Mr. Rockefeller. It's the old one hand sells the other hand trick. Don't forget, there's no business like show business. But just remember, business is still business. Yes, business is still business. Money and power. Money and power, money and power. Ego trip, little penis. Who knows why they do it? But you ask,
what's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason?
Federal Reserve Bank is privately owned. It's designed to steal your home and the farmland, to control food supply so they can exploit I. On the other hand, are you putting out good vibes to yourself and your brothers and sisters? You got friends out there. Everybody's your friend. We all want to be friends. I think everybody's just a little scared. The media programming, man. You know, they tell you about all that crime in the street. All that crime and all that mugging and those murders and those rapes and everything. All that negativity. Media putting out all that negativity, so they don't want you to be friends, man. They don't want everybody to say, hey, what's happening, brother? Hey, yeah. What's happening? All right. Yeah, hey, sister, how you doing? How's it going, sister? Yeah, right. Because they want to divide and conquer, man. They want to divide and conquer. They don't want oneness for funness. They don't want no oneness for funness, man. Because then they lose control over you. And once they lose control, and they lose their power, and they lose their tax dollars, and they lose their soldiers, and they lose their workers, they got nothing left. Because they never worked a day in their life. They're living off of your sweat and blood, man. They're living off of your hard work and your tax dollars. Them politicians and them bankers that are running them politicians, living off you, brother and sister, mother and father, son and daughter. They're living off of your sweat and blood, ripping you off, exploiting you, the people. That's what this government is doing. It ain't a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a secret government of the bankers, by the bankers, and for the bankers. And they're using them bankers. They got them politicians bought and sold, bought and paid for, right up to the President of the United States of America, which is technically a British colony in the first place.
What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason?
Rappers claim they got a lot of nerve. Iceberg ain't throwing you a snow job curve. Kennedy's limo, it never swerved. Check it out, what Jack had on the Federal Reserve.
What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason? What's the reason for this treason?
Federal Reserve Bank is privately owned. It's designed to steal your home and the farmland, to control food supply so they can exploit I.
Hello, welcome to TV Turned Upside Down. Well, we're here today with Mr. X. He's a very political songwriter, and I'd like to introduce you to him. Mr. X, could you tell me how John Lennon was killed?
Well, obviously, you don't know about the MK Ultra mind control program. John Lennon was killed by Mark David Chapman, who was a Manchurian candidate who we had mind controlled to turn into a zombie hitman. And we had to get rid of John Lennon because he was a thorn in the side of the establishment. Because if you remember, in the 60s and early 70s, we did away with the draft registration. The draft registration was proven unconstitutional in a democratic society. But we needed soldiers for our army. So we were going to reinstate the draft again, but we knew since John Lennon would stay in bed for peace with Yoko Ono like he did with the Vietnam War, we knew we had to get him out of the way before we reinstated the draft registration. So we had John Lennon done away with, and then a month or two later, we had the draft reinstated again, where now your 18-year-olds are required by law to register for the draft. That's why John Lennon was done away with.
And in your song, it says, first it's I'm a zombie for the CIA, I killed Lennon and I killed Bob Marley. Now, why was Bob Marley killed?
Well, Bob Marley was a very political activist, you know, in Jamaica and even in this country. And he would sing songs like, I shot the sheriff, you know, but I did not shoot the deputy. And he was very political. He was making waves. You know, Jamaica was a British colony, you know, for many years. And we don't want, you know, we don't want Jamaica to be free. You know, we don't want any country to be free. We want to collect all those taxes from all these nations, you know. So we had to get...